This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for the Celtics to advance, Keefe?
Oh, of course I am. Bring on the second round.
Moving yes, on up.
Yes, sir.
Floodgates really opened in that second half.
It kind of turned on the Magic there in that third quarter.
It got away from them.
They were playing their game. They had the Celtics playing their style of basketball. And then, no, it just kind of slipped away.
Maybe.
Kind of just took off on them.
The Celtics probably were going to win either way.
I would say so.
I said in game one, I wasn't concerned at all at halftime when the Celtics were down. Last night, a little concerning. They were playing like garbage.
It was bizarre, though, that they went as long as they did without a three.
Well,
they weren't even really taking them.
Some of us who had the Horford overprop on threes know exactly why they technically didn't hit any threes, because he had a toenail on the line on a couple of threes. I think
That's
three
true.
Of them last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, he was close.
But at halftime, there were two of them.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a little misleading, I think, because Horford hit some long jumpers, but they were playing like trash. And then, and the Celtics probably would have won either way, Jamal Mosley, the head coach of the Magic, just leaves Paolo Banchero out there to foul out in the third quarter.
Why not?
And the game just completely gets away from Orlando.
He's like, we didn't get swept. He's like, I did my job.
But that was the Celtics team
yeah.
that for four and a half games I was waiting to see. And not that you need to hit every three like they were making last night.
No.
But Tatum showed out in a big way. Even
oh, yeah.
when they were down, Tatum was carrying them in the first half. I'll do it myself, as Nick just said. You have him hitting the three to open the floodgates in the second half. The Celtics run away from them. I mean, that's kind of how at least I was expecting the series to go. Those were the Celtics we were waiting for. And they finally showed up. And you have to feel pretty good about that last night with the Celtics advancing on to round two.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And even though, you know, you and I thought this might be a sweep, it's five games. You know, gentlemen sweep, Magic, you know, give them credit. They're a little bit tougher team than I thought they would be. And, you know, the Celtics played three of these games without Drew Holiday, and I think they sort of had to get used to that a little bit. But the thing that was shocking was Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown did not attempt a three in the first half. It wasn't that they didn't make it, they're ice cold. And, you know, some of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's horrible shooting didn't, like, rub off. It wasn't contagious to the Celtics. But they were 0-for-6 in the first half.
Do
a team
think
that takes 50 threes a game took six threes, and they missed them all in the first half.
Do you think those two and Wagner all took a no-three pact in the first half? We're
yeah.
like, guys, we're not going to shoot threes in the first half.
We're not doing it.
And then we're going to shoot them in the second half. Wagner, like, noticeably didn't shoot them in the first half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then he started launching up these bricks
He's
in the
like,
second half.
Heave it. Hail Marys at the end. No, this was the Larry Bird playing left-handed game. This was, we're not going to shoot threes.
We won't shoot threes.
They're
going to
chase
half.
Us off the line, so yeah. let's not shoot threes. So the fact that, what were the Celtics down? Two at the half?
Yeah, Tatum had the dunk right before. They were down four. Tatum had the dunk right before half.
So they're
yeah.
down two at the half, and the Magic are like, the Celtics have not made a three, and we're up by two. We're kind of in trouble.
Do you know how many they attempted last night?
When it was all said and done, 24?
24.
Yeah.
That's still a very low number for them. Now, they made a high clip because they made basically everything in the second half.
So that means what? They took 18 in the second half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah.
is still below their average.
No, that's...
I mean, that's still way below their average, even if you doubled that up.
Look, I don't know that they can beat Oklahoma City and teams like that playing this way, but I don't mind that they won without hitting a million threes.
Yeah, and it also flies in the face of anybody's like, oh, live by the three, die by the three, and like that's all they got. It's like, well, no, it's not all they got.
No, well.
I mean, they're a better team when they're hitting their threes.
Definitely.
But they at least proved over the last couple of games, if it's a grinded out, shoot free throws, you know, make twos, they could still at least beat a team like the Magic.
Well, thank you. That's an important qualifier,
it
though.
Is.
It's like, a team that was in the play-in round, they can beat that way. Can they beat the best teams? We'll see.
But they're a little bit more rough and tumble. They are a good defensive team.
They are.
The Knicks, Well, or the Pistons aren't as good of a defensive team as the Magic. Now, they're both light years better offensively, and they have guys that can scare you. They have more than 1.5 players on offense. So that's a different story. But, I mean, I credit the Magic for finding a way to, at least for long stretches, force the Celtics to play their style.
100%.
They just didn't have enough talent to do anything with it.
100%. So the Celtics can win that way, .. against Orlando. Yeah. We'll see. We're going to find out. Can they keep winning that way? But when they're hitting threes like they were in the second half, it's turbocharged and they run away from you.
It's not fair.
The stat you were referencing earlier, Terp had this. We'll talk to Terp at High Noon.
Pure Hoops.
Every Wednesday at High Noon with Justin Turpin of
WEEI.
He's going
to be flying high. He had a Celtics in 5 prediction.
He did.
He nailed that.
He also had a very late night, so I don't know.
Oh, he might be a little sleepy?
Yeah, I don't know. He's flying high. We'll see.
Yeah, he told me he finished working around 4:30 this morning.
Oh, good Lord.
He's young.
4:30?
Yeah, he's young. Yeah, you can bounce back. You can stay up till 4:30. When you're in your early to mid-20s, back from staying up until 4:30.
That's true.
I stay up past like 11 like last night. I don't even drink.
Grab a couple Lucky Energy drinks that are stashed around here.
I didn't have a beer last night.
No beers last night?
Greg, bro.
No beers.
No beers?
I stayed up past 11. I woke up today. I'm like, ugh.
Who's game night? No beers?
No beers.
Tuesday night, no beers?
No Tuesday beers. The Terp had the stat last night. The Celtics had 0 makes and a half for the first time since October 30th, 2021.
Wild.
So October of 2021, 0 makes in a half. They only attempted 6 in the first half, as you pointed out, Keith. None from Tatum, none from Jalen.
I mean, there are times where either Jalen or Tatum attempt 6 on their own
Half. I bet that happens a ton.
All the time.
They only attempted 6 as a team in the half. It's the fewest in a half since March of 2019.
That's insane.
Which was the Kyrie, Marcus Morris,
Terry Rozier,
Marcus Smart, like that. Yeah, the team that all hated each other was that team.
What a squad.
That was the last team.
That was a well-assembled team.
And so the Celtics kick it into high gear in the second half. They outscore Orlando 36-13 in the third quarter, while Paolo Banchero, when he was out there, was getting foul after foul after foul. Mosley just left him out there for 3 fouls like a moron.
A little too aggressive there,
Paolo. I tweeted this in real time, and it proved to be very true. Absolute moron coaching clinic last night to just leave Banchero out there. Yeah. Horrible challenge as well, like a terrible challenge to
boot. There was bad coaching going on. We'll get into the Knicks later, but Thibodeau had some head-scratching things too. Because I did dip away from this game a little bit to watch the final couple of minutes of Knicks and Knicks and Pistons.
And we were forced to watch a little bit of the Pacers and the Bucks because...
Oh, what the hell was that? So you already have 4 games. There's already going to be overlap. You're already starting this game at 8:40, and I'm not trying to be the old guy. Like, whatever, start the game whenever time. Yeah. But at least start when you tell us you're going to start. So I'm watching the Red Sox, and I'm like, all right, 8:40, let's flip over to the Celtics, and it's, oh, we're going to wait like 10 more minutes because there's a game in overtime. I'm like, a game that we're not watching is in overtime, so what, are they sharing a court?
Well, and then
we
were forced to watch that. You got a little of Halliburton and Giannis, which we'll get to coming up.
Oh, yeah.
But the Celtics kicked it into high gear in the second half and win going away. 120-89. Good NBA night. I should have had a beer, Keith.
You should have had several beers. It was a good beer
myself.
Night.
I really should.
It was a great beer night. But also, I think for the people that say the 3-point shot's ruining the game, this first half was for you. You would have really loved this first half.
That's your kind of basketball right there.
Did you enjoy it more because there were no threes?
You know, I think the Celtics might need to win that way. But
I preferred them more in the third quarter, to be honest.
I didn't find that enjoyable. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line to talk Celtics all day long here on Jones and Keefe. A lot of ways you can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Shout out to John in the Twitch chat. I saw him early.
Yeah.
Watching live from the Philippines, Keith.
Nice.
On Twitch today.
Appreciate that.
So we've gone international.
Sick brag, bro.
Always a healthy chat going on there. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We talked a lot about whether or not the Celtics are better off for a series like this. Do you think the Celtics are better off for having to deal with a physical team like the Magic, an annoying team like the Magic, a team that was going to make them play differently like Orlando did? And let's face it, for 4.5 quarters, this is an ugly, difficult series.
Yeah.
And for that second half, they ran away from them, but the Magic made it tough on them.
Yeah.
You said this a lot. The game was played more on Orlando's terms. Most of these games were played more on Orlando's terms in this series than certainly I expected. So are the Celtics better off for it?
Yeah, it certainly can't hurt. I think it was a physical series, and you know we're wondering about the next couple of rounds. Even if those teams say, ooh, the Magic did something that kind of irritated the Celtics, can we do that? They might not be able to. They might not have the personnel. That might not be in their games. Like, I don't think all of a sudden Karl-Anthony Towns is going to turn into like this mauler, right? Like, it's just not in his game. So they might look at that and say, well, that can work. But I think for a couple of reasons, it's going to look at, it's a benefit for the Celtics. One, they won a couple of games without Drew Holiday in the playoffs. I think that's something, because who knows, with all these different guys and injuries, if you're going to be able to rely on like a full squad the entire time. But also not just the, hey, offense isn't working right now, let's just fire up a bunch of threes and get back into the game that way, or take the lead that way. They were able to score and win in other ways. So why not? There might be a game where, let's say you're getting the threes, but threes aren't falling, and maybe they go about it a little bit of a different way. So I think, and we heard from a lot of the players after the game too, I think they look at this as like, all right, that was maybe a slight more challenge than they thought, but something they can take with them into the next round.
So you bring up players after the game. I think Jaylen Brown mm-hmm. echoes some of what you're talking about. The Celtics could be better off long term. We're going to find out. But they could be better off long term for having to go through something like this. Here's Jaylen after the game.
Orlando did a good job of trying to make us play a different style of ball. And I think we had adjusted to that well. I think, like, you know, going into the playoffs, everybody was concerned with our three-point shooting. They wanted to take away our three-point shooting, or do we shoot too many threes? Can we win games? And I think, like, you know, we didn't shoot a lot of threes in this whole entire series, and we had to still, you know, win games in the trenches. So I think it was a great challenge for us, and I think that it's a great step for us moving forward and a series that we can learn from.
Okay. So I would largely agree with that.
I do agree with that.
So I'm looking at I'm looking at a number of stats. They showed a graphic last night on NBC Sports Boston. We were forced to watch on NBC Sports Boston.
I was watching there as well.
Blacked out on NBA TV.
Oh, it was on NBA? Or, like, for everybody else, that's where it was? Because, like, yeah, ESPN and TNT had the other games, right?
Yeah, and it was, Brian was telling us, I guess they had the blackout panel that they showed, but then later on you could flip in and they were also showing the game. I have
bizarre.
No idea. But NBC Sports Boston had a graphic last night where the Celtics were, maybe at the time, last among, like, assists. And they were highest among isolation plays and all these things that, like, the Celtics don't want to play that way. The Celtics right now in made threes in the playoffs are 10th with about 12 threes a game. In assists, they are 16, 15, 14, 13. They're 12th in assists. So they're not moving the ball. Mm. They're not hitting threes. Their isolation plays, I don't have in front of me right now, but going into that game last night, they had the highest level of isolation plays in the postseason, and they were able to win. So let's see if they can apply some of this. Probably not against New York, because I don't think New York's going to be a rough and tumble team. But can you apply some of this against Cleveland? Could you do it against OKC or Golden State, or, you know, somebody else on that side that could muck it up with you? Maybe.
Yeah.
And so I think having to do that early on and get tested early on and get smacked in the face a little bit early on could wake them up and have them more ready than just coasting past the team. Like the second half yesterday, as fun as it was,
yeah,
if the Celtics just won that series in dominant fashion running away from Orlando, that's what I expected it to be, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't have told me much. A series like this, it tells you a little more about the team, I would say.
So would you rather, and not to steal from would you rather coming up later on in the program,
yeah,
today,
that's 11:30, yeah.
But so, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers won in a rout. Like, I don't think they played a competitive game, and it was just, like, almost a waste of time for them. Whereas the Celtics, a couple games they're down at the half, they have to come back, they have one game where they lose. Would you rather be the team that has, like, a little bit of a challenge and a little bit more battle-tested, or would you rather just the team that cakewalks in
the
second round?
Now that we've seen it,
yeah.
I would rather the Celtics. I would rather the Celtics got slapped around a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's see. Is Drew Holiday healthy for round two? He's got a lot of time to rest up.
Right.
You know, I think if the game should be Saturday if the Knicks wrap it up in game six. If they don't, the game is going to be Monday, is how I read it.
Mm.
So that's a good amount of rest for Drew Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Tatum is not hurt. Are we done with that? Like, Tatum's not hurt.
He looked good last night.
He seems completely fine. He's always been fine, I think. Jaylen Brown is fine. All these guys are fine. And so the only question is Drew Holiday. Like, if they really took a chunk out of you health-wise.
You think he's fine?
I think he's always always a risk to get hurt.
Right.
But, like, right now, do I think he's healthy? Yeah, I think he's healthy. Do you not?
I don't know. I mean, what did he play, 21 minutes last night? I don't know.
He didn't start the second half again, which is the second or maybe it's the second game in a row or the second time in this series that Missoula
has done. I'm always a little leery of him. It's a little bit like Gronk for a while where you're just like, he's out there. You're like, I think he's going to be fine. Then you're like, he's not.
No,
like,
he could always get hurt, do I think he's playing injured right now? No. And so, no, now that I've seen, I was questioning it in real time. I'm like, the Celtics have been a little disappointing. They're underwhelming is the word I used.
Yeah.
The second half is what I expected the series to be. But now that you've advanced and now that you're through it, I think they're better off for it. Cleveland didn't get pushed at all in the first round. That was mostly that told me nothing about Cleveland.
No, this has dominated.
This has a chance to tell you a little something about the Celtics.
Yeah, you can take something away of it. I mean, the first round, I think certainly for Cleveland, ended up just being like an extension of the regular season. And a little bit like that for the Celtics, although the Magic were able to, as we pointed out, get under their skin a little bit. You know, Al Horford was frustrated with these guys a little bit. I wouldn't call it adversity, but like they lost the game and they had to battle back from that a little bit. So they at least were a little bit more battle tested, if you will, than certainly Cleveland or like Oklahoma City.
So no, I agree with that. Now yeah. that they're through it, I didn't love watching it in real time, and I questioned at one point around halftime. I'm like, are they going to go back to Orlando and drag this out even more? No, they're not.
No.
They woke up in the second half and ran away from Orlando, so they're on to round two. All your thoughts on it, 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe on a Would You Rather Wednesday. We got some Would You Rathers for you at 1130. And, of course, Justin Turpin, WEEI, Pure Hoops with Turp at high noon every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. I want to get into Jason Tatum as well. Isn't this the Jason Tatum we all, and specifically me, mm-hmm. were asking for? The Tatum we got last night, I think it was. I will explain right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.